is in front of you or in your vicinity a blue card. That is a visitor's card. We'd like for you to register your visit with us today. That way we will have a record of your attendance, and hopefully this will allow us an opportunity to get to know you better. Thank you for coming and being with us in our worship this morning. 2018 is a year that we have adopted a theme. This theme will be fully explored with you in our congregational meeting, which will be on the 24th of January. That's on a Wednesday night. We're encouraging everyone to be a part of that meeting. And our theme is, and they're going to shoot me, but it's already out there, that is an unshakable faith in an unmovable God. Come on, say it with me. An unshakable faith in an unmovable God. If ever there was a time that we need a faith that is unshakable, that time is now. I know that it was a mistake when the button was pushed concerning the launching of missiles for the people of Hawaii. But that's not going to always be a mistake. We're going to have to live in a world that's filled with so much trepidation and uncertainty. But in the midst of it all, we're going to have a faith that is unshakable, because our faith is not in the government. Our faith is in God Almighty. And that's why we have chosen as ministers to focus our attention on God and on our worship to God. And we have selected Psalm 100 as the psalm which will shape our hearts and minds and prepare our hearts to worship God appropriately. And when we say appropriately, we're simply saying fitting, what's proper for him, what is right for him. When we examined with you Psalm 100, we looked at this psalm with several emphases. Brother Myers did an excellent job on Sunday evening telling us concerning worship being a celebration, participation, as well as edification. And I emphasized on last Lord's Day morning how that the psalm, which is a praise psalm, is actually a summons. And this summons is given by God through the psalmist, saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. The joyful noise is equivalent to the word singing. God wants us to have joyful singing. Thank God for giving us the instrument in our bodies by which we're able to make melody and to sing unto him. We are very, very thankful that he encourages us to come before him enthusiastically. In spite of all what has gone on, there is a reason to be excited about coming to God. When I go to the Cowboy game, I don't care what has happened to me all that week, but I am excited about going to the Cowboy game, which is very sparing. If you go to the club, dress up to go to the club. You know, I'm talking about in your when you before you became a Christian. I don't care what went on all that week. That Saturday when you on your way to the club, you excited about getting there, and you look like it too. I thought I would just help you to see that God wants us to be excited about him. He wants us to be enthusiastic in our worship to him. This morning, what I want to do is to share with you some other truths concerning this particular psalm, which when we come into worship and as we recite the psalm at the beginning, I'm hoping that you will do so with a greater appreciation as well as a greater knowledge of really what you are saying about your God. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about the universality of this worship. If you notice, the psalm says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Listen to how he says, "All ye lands." The call to praise is universal. In the other psalms, the praise and the worship was pretty much centered around the nation of Israel, their relationship with God. But there's something very, very significant about this psalm, which is different from the others. And that is that it is more in line with what God intends to do and has done in this Christian era than in the day in which this psalm was actually written. For when it was written, the Jewish people were his people. It called all Israel to worship God. But in this psalm, he says, "All ye lands." The worship of God is universal, and it is derived from the fact that he is our creator. The whole world belongs to him. The young children used to sing, "He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand." When Paul was in Athens, he said in Acts 17, verse number 26, "And hath made of one blood," watch the phrase, "all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And hath determined the times of before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." What does Paul emphasize to the Athenians? He tells them that every person that is on the face of the earth came from just one blood, or one man. We all are descendants of Adam and Eve. So it does not matter about whether you are Haitian or an African. Somebody ought to let somebody know that all people, all nationalities, in the image of the God who made them, oh, yes, our complexion may differ. Our languages and our customs may be different. But we're all formed from the same God. And so when we worship God, as creator. You have to broaden it from you, me, and understand that the whole world belongs to him. Every creature, birds have no problem praising him. The animals have no problem praising him. You and I, who are made in his image, we must understand that our worship is not solitary. Our worship is not just national. Our worship is not just congregational. Broaden our minds to the fact that the great God of heaven deserves praise and honor from all nationalities and all people. For we are his offspring. It is in him that we live, move, and have our very being. Habakkuk 2:20 says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Listen to what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2:20. But the Lord is in his holy what? Temple. And let what? Let what? All the earth keep what? Silence before him. When we come to God on the Lord's Day, we must know that we are participating worldwide with every creature, every creation, not just by family, but all families, not just young and old, singles, black, white, African, we're all worshiping God. In Revelations 4 and verse number, well, I could really go from verses 1 through 11, but I want to drop down to verse number 11 in Revelations chapter 4 and verse number 11. This is a scene that John was able to see in heaven, and he saw the throne of God, and he said that he looked like a sapphire sitting on the throne, one sat on the throne, not multiple, but one. And around the throne was a rainbow. And he said that there were 24 elders, which is 24. And I believe that in heaven, the 24, if you divide that, that's 12 and 12. And so you had 12 patriarchs for the Old Testament covenant, 12 apostles for the New Testament, who were the foundations for which God built these two wonderful covenants. When you get to the throne scene that John is seeing, there's representation from the old and the new. And what you're seeing is all of heaven praising God. And so in verse number 11, notice what the Bible says. They say, thou art what? Worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and what? Honor and what? Power. For thou hast done what? Created how many things? All things. And this is what we need to see. For whose pleasure? For our pleasure? You know, it's so important that we understand why God created this world. And why every creature is here. Never approach worship thinking that it's about us. Worship is not about us. Heaven is giving us a scene to help us to understand that it is so universal that it is not only on earth, but it's also in heaven. All heaven, all earth gives praise and honor to God. God is the creator, and everything has been created for his pleasure. I think we get in trouble, and we falter in our ability to really live good, I think, healthy lives, is because too many times we approach life selfishly as though what I deserve and what belongs to me. To be honest about it, God said the earth is mine. and all things that there are in the world. He said, they belong to me. The gold is mine. The silver is mine. All souls are mine. And so when we worship God, broaden your mind. Don't just get up on Sunday morning and say, I'm going to worship. Be like David. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so think universally. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye what? Lands. And you're going to think much broader than just Greenville Avenue. Just recognize that the whole world on this day is and should be in worship to Almighty God. I think I can get up a little earlier on Sunday morning when I know that it's that grand of an occasion, that the whole world is worshiping God today. I think I can put my clothes together on Saturday. Amen. Not wake up on Sunday morning trying to find my earrings and find, not me, but, lay your stuff out. Lay your stuff out. You know, say, I'm going to worship this morning. I picked my tie. I hung it up. I already knew what I was going to look like this morning, all the way down to my shoes. Amen. Now, the point, don't miss me. I said that in a way that I was hoping that you would laugh. But what I'm saying to us is that worship begins long before Sunday morning. And when you understand that the whole world is worshiping God today and he's worthy of it, why don't we start early? And I know somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, I just believe that God will accept us anyway. And anyway, I want to come. Well, I understand that. But you dressed up to go to the club. You didn't go any way that you wanted to go to the club. Amen. Somebody ought to say, I ain't never been to a club. I don't know how they dress, but just imagining. Somebody help me. Is that right? Am I telling them the truth? Don't raise your hand too quickly now. But every picture I've ever seen look like they dressed up. They dressed for the occasion. And all I'm simply saying is that God deserves our best. I have seen a trend that I don't appreciate. And that is that some speakers now, and I'm talking about as they come to the congregation to speak to the congregation, they come with their shirts out. They come casual. Now I know this is a preference of Shelton, but here's the principle. I'm talking about a principle. And all I'm simply saying is that give God your best. God is worthy of our best. And if we would dress up to go to meet the President of the United States, why don't we feel like God deserves our best here? Don't let the world bring us down to their standard. People need to know they're coming to the house of God. Well, that didn't go over too well. But it sure was the truth. And I hope I'm having a good disposition. Am I looking like I'm not looking like I'm mad? All right, I'm really trying to work on that. I really want to look like I'm pleasant when I do what I'm doing, because it does come from a good heart. It does. And I don't want the children, say, what was he mad about this morning? That's what they always ask me. What are you mad about? What were you mad about? So I'm working on that. And so y'all help me. All right. The last point that I want to make, and that is from this psalm, there are others to be made, but from this psalm, not only is it universal, and I really want you to think broadly when it comes to worship from now on, I also want you to see where it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and what? Not we ourselves. Now, I am assured of the fact that that's talking about creation, that he is our creator, all right? But this next phrase, is not about creation. Hear me well. The next phrase, we are what? We are his what? We are his what? People and the what? Sheep of his what? Pasture. Now, two things why we should worship God and serve God. Number one, because he is our creator. No doubt about it. You couldn't have created yourself. And I love the way that he created me. He made my skin where it is an air-conditioned built into my skin. That when I get hot and I start perspiring, that's God's way of cooling me off. So I got a whole lot to praise him for. Just the way that he created us. I mean, it's a whole lot to praise him for, just the way that he created the world. But here's what I want you to see. This psalm is also redemptive. Worship is also redemptive. We are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is also in the redemptive business. Israel, when they sang this psalm, they sang it because they are his people, not from creation, but because of what he did for them redemptively. We are his people. Listen to Deuteronomy 7 and put that on the screen. Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 5. I want you to see this, Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 5. And this is why I believe that they were able to sing this psalm, because they understood that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down the groves and burn their graven images with fire. That's when Israel were to go into the promised land. But watch verse number 6. For thou art, listen to this, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Watch verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, but ye were the fewest of all people. Watch verse number 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen. And I want to focus on that word redeemed, because that word redeemed simply means that he paid a price. He paid a price for them, and he paid for their redemption. He paid for the ownership of Israel by what he did for Israel. That's what made them his people. Redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then verse number 9, and then I don't know therefore that the Lord thy God, God becomes their God. They are his people and the sheep of his pasture, because God redeemed them out of Egypt. Out of all the people in the world, God made a special choice of Israel, making them his people. We are his people. When they sang that psalm, they understood that they were talking about the redemption that God had given them from Egyptian bondage. They understood, you are the creator, but you have done a second creation in that you have brought us out of and created a people. And we are the people and the sheep of your pasture. And that is because we keep covenant. Watch this now. Therefore, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Everybody who has been created by God don't love God. They don't even recognize God. They are an abomination to God. But we are a different people. We understand that we were brought out of the miry clay of sin and brought into a redemptive body called the Church of Christ. And so when we sing the psalm, when we say the psalm, we know because Jesus Christ has bought us with his own blood. Somebody ought to say amen. You thank God for your creation. You thank him for what you have, but you also thank him for calling us as a special people. Put on the screen Galatians chapter 4, verse number 3. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 3. And I want you to see this because I think that we really don't realize how blessed we are. Even so we, now watch this. I've told you about Israel, but even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the what? The elements of the world. Now, Israel was under bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh, but the whole world was in bondage under the elements of the world. But watch verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. But watch this, made under the law. Made under the law, watch verse number 5, to do what? Redeem them that were where? Under the law, that we might receive the what? The adoption of sons. So watch what Jesus did. Jesus Christ claimed the people of God under the old covenant, but because of Jesus Christ's universality, the fact that he died for all mankind, Jesus Christ, by coming into the world, he has broadened it from Israel to all nations. That's why I say this psalm is not just about Israel. It's about this generation. It's about this time. God knew that I'm going to call all nations to do this. And the only way all nations can serve him with gladness is through the adoption of son and the redemption that has come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, that's good preaching. Paul, well, let me finish it. I know my time is going to get away. Verse number 6. And because ye are what? Because ye are son, God has sent forth, watch this now, the Spirit of his son into your heart, crying what? Abba, Father. In other words, when we sing and say the psalm, we are his people. It's because God bought us with the blood of Christ. God gave us the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in all of us. And so we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is calling for us to be something that the rest of the world is not. He called us to be the light of the world, to bring the world to him. And so every Sunday morning, I have no problem lifting my hand and bowing my knees and singing my soul that the Lord is a good God. Somebody ought to say amen, 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 amen. Well, verse number 7, hurry right quick. Wherefore thou art no more a what? Servant, but a son. And if a son, then you are what? Heir of God through Christ Jesus. Man, I'm a rich person. I'm not rich because of money. I'm rich because the Lord has given me eternal life. I'm an heir. I'm going to go home and live with God. I'll be his people. Oh, I wish I had time to develop it. No, I really don't have the time. I really don't because you say it's all right. Well, okay then. All right, go to Revelation 20, 21. Hurry right quick. Revelation 21. I want to show you what God is trying to get us to see, and that's why we ought to be a happy, happy people. Revelation 21. I know all of that, but now Revelation 21, 1. Revelation 21, 1. And then I'm going to head toward a conclusion.
John, now this is John. John is looking ahead of time. And this is going to be part of our theme where we deal with this book. But watch this now. But right now, let's just deal with this. For I saw a what? A new heaven and a what? New earth. For the what? First heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away, and there was what? No more sea. But watch verse number 2. And I, John, saw the what? Holy city, what? New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a what? A bride adorned for her husband. Oh, church, we are the New Jerusalem. We are the holy city. Amen. And we didn't come from the earth. We came from heaven. God put in us what we are. We are the holy bride of Christ. Watch verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is where? And he will what? Dwell what? And they shall be what? And God himself shall be what? And be what? No, 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 no. I'm not just anybody. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. And we ought to be excited about coming to the house of God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He redeemed us. Well, hurry right quick. Verse number 4. And God shall what? All tear from there, and there shall be what? No more dead, neither sorrow nor crying, nor there shall be no more what? Pain. For the what? Former things have passed away. This is where we're going, church. And I'm telling you, no government can keep it from us. This is what I am an heir of. So I may have cancer, but I got a reason to shout on Sunday morning. It may be in my body, but it ain't in my soul. I ain't letting it get all down in my spirit. Y'all done made me look ugly again. I mean, it's all down in my... It's redemptive. One last passage. Well, I have several others, but I'm going to be very... Let me just end it this way. Let me end it this way. When we come to the Lord's house, one of the central pieces of our worship is the Lord's table. Am I right? And he asked us to do this in what? If there's no other reason for me to come to worship, I ought to come to take of his blood, his body, the bread, and the cup. To remember that this is what the Lord has done for me. So this psalm is universal, and this psalm is redemptive. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. May God bless us. May God keep us. And I pray that if you're not a person of God, if you're not a child of God, if you have not become a part of the covenant relationship with God, I'm asking you to do that before time expires. I'm asking you to do that before you have to leave this earth. You're going to have to make him your Lord. You're going to have to make him your master. You're going to have to accept Jesus Christ. And that's why he gives us the plea. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All who want eternal rest, they must come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ came for you. Now he's asking you to come to him. Give your life to him. Dedicate yourself to him. You do that by believing that he is the Christ. You believing that he died
for you, paid a penalty for you. You believe that, and that he rose again the third day. You believe that, and that he is now at the right hand of God. You believe that? Then repent of your sin. Turn. Repent. Turn toward God. Do what God wants you to do. That's repentance. He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you're going to perish. So you don't want to perish. You want to repent. That's why the good news is here to encourage you. Then you're going to have to confess him. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. If you don't confess him and you're ashamed of him, he said, I'm going to be ashamed of you.
Amen.
Before my Father. So please, in 2018, make a decision for Christ. Make a decision for him as he made one for you when he died on Calvary. Then go down in water. I know it doesn't seem plausible to have to go down in water, but going down in water is mimicking him going down into the grave.
Amen.
And coming out of the grave with all power in heaven and in earth. He asks you to be baptized, to be buried with him, but then he's asking you to be raised with him.
Amen.
And that's when you come up out of the water, all your sins will then be washed away. Everything in heaven now becomes brand new. He puts your name as one of his people,
Amen.
As one of his children. And now all heaven is rejoicing because you are part of the family of God. Start 2018, right? Give your life to Christ. Live according to his will. See what he'll do. Will you do that? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Oh.